This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Your countenance and the greatness of your authority. O Allah, we do not limit you with any praise we can come up with ourselves. Rather, we admit that you are the only one who knows the true extent of your praiseworthiness. And may the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon his servant and messenger, our master Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him and upon his noble companions and upon his pure wives and upon his mubarak and blessed family and progeny and upon all of those who follow all of their way until the day of judgment. Brothers and sisters, by the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala gave us the tawfiq of saying the shahada of La ilaha illallah and Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and together for his mubarak dhikr and his mubarak remembrance in this mubarak hour of this mubarak day of this mubarak month. The month of Muharram is a sacred month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the tawfiq to gather in this sacred hour. This tawfiq is not something that we generated from ourselves. The only one who has the ability to make something from nothing is Allah ta'ala. This is our aqidah. This is one reason that the English language is extremely deficient to describe the deen of Islam. Because we say so-and-so is creative, so-and-so has creativity. The verb for creation, khalaqa yakhluqu in Arabic, is only reserved for the use of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he is the only one who creates something from nothing. Whatever creativity, quote-unquote, people have in this world, if they are good people, if they are people who purify their gaze and don't look at the haram, and purify their ears and don't listen to the haram, don't listen to lies, don't listen to enticement to do haram. They purify their stomach, that their mouth only lets what's haram in. They purify their tongue, that they only speak the haram. One of the things we forget, just like when you write an email, you can write an email and CC it to another person. Just like that, when your tongue says something to people around you outside, a CC is sent to your heart and all of it gathers over there. So if your tongue is saying dirty things, your heart becomes foul. And if your tongue is saying beautiful things, your heart becomes beautiful by the fadl of Allah Ta'ala. All of these things, these things that affect the heart. What you do with your private parts, what you do with your hands, what you do with your feet. They all affect the heart, and then the heart comes into a state. It tunes into a station. It tunes into a station. Like you have a radio, your radio can tune into many different stations. You can listen to an enlightened political discourse. You can listen to a preacher preach the gospel. You can listen to a fahish song singing about fahish things. You can listen to country music. You can listen to jazz. You can listen to 100 different things. Same radio. Everyone has the same radio. Everyone has a heart. Same radio. Different stations that are tuned into. What these people think is creativity is what? It's the station that they're tuned into. So just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his inspiration to his prophets alayhim salatu wasalam, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the du'as of the Mala'ul A'la, through the du'as of the angels, through the du'as of the Salihin, sends a good signal that is picked up by those hearts that are in tune to something good. Just like that, those people who eat the haram, look at the haram, listen to lies, listen to deceit, those people who use their hands and their feet for the haram, those people who use their private parts for the haram, when they wake up in the morning and haram is the thing that makes the most sense to them, that's not their own creativity, brothers and sisters. That's a different station. That station is being run by the shayateen of ins and jinn, the shayateen of mankind and of jinns. This is the fadl from Allah Ta'ala that he created this good, that even we struggle ourselves to tune into it. The signal is not something we're making ourselves. The signal is something given but from Allah Ta'ala. Even the struggle itself is made by Allah and given to us. But that's something that very few people will understand. Very few people will be able to make idrak of that reality in the beginning. What I want to remind myself, I want to remind other people. Because this is a very, very beautiful opportunity. Okay, this masjid is in a different place than many other masajid are in our community. It's not in the suburbs. It's not. We're not exchanging fruit baskets with the neighbors here. You understand what I'm saying? This masjid is in a different place. This is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. Why? Why is it a blessing? It may not look like a blessing at first. The reason it's a blessing is this. Let me share a story with you. I myself went to go and study the deen. When I went to study, I went to very far-flung places. I didn't study in Chicago. I didn't study in America. I didn't study in a university or college. I didn't study dean in a university or college. I studied biochemistry in a university, and then I went to go study dean in very difficult places to live. I went to Mauritania, where you had to get your water from a well. I went to Pakistan, where the high temperature in the summer would get 50 degrees Celsius. That's something around 124 degrees Fahrenheit. If the fan shut down while you're sleeping, you will sweat so much that it will cause your eyes to burn. For some reason or another, these places are the ones where you will find the people with the most ikhlas to study from, and Allah Ta'ala knows best what's in the hearts of the people. Allah Ta'ala knows what's best, what's inside the hearts of people. When I was studying in Mauritania, the thought crossed my mind, okay, to get to the place I was studying in, you have to drive 6 hours on road and then 6 hours off road. Anyone seen a Toyota Land Cruiser before? Right? They drive them around on freeways over here. The vehicle wasn't made for a freeway. If you want to drive on a freeway, you should. You have that much money, buy a Lexus instead. You're wasting the Land Cruiser. The vehicle can drive up the side of a mountain, literally. It's a very well-built vehicle. And that's what we did. You have to drive up the side of a mountain for 6 hours to get to the madrasa. It literally, it was such a windy path, it takes just as long to walk as it does to go by car. Because on your legs, you can go through, jump things that you can't do on a car. That's how far away it was. The thought crossed my mind that, what if I get sick? What if I get sick and I need to go to a hospital? In 12 hours, I could die. Right? Sometimes the ambulance here, if it's late by just half an hour, 20 minutes, person is having a stroke, a heart attack, the person gets shot, something like that. If the intervention isn't quick enough, the person will die, right? So I thought, if I get sick, what's going to happen? I'm just going to die over here. It'll take 24 hours for a vehicle to come here, even if we order it. And there are some people here that don't have enough money even to order the vehicle if they had the choice. I could die over here, right? I could die over here. Then I thought, you know what? You can die in the city. People die in the city as well. Forget about the ambulance. People are inside the hospital, inside the emergency room. When the emergency happens, they still die. Whose choice is it? The doctors? No. Whose choice is it? The ambulance? No. Whose choice is it? It's Allah Ta'ala's choice. The same Allah Ta'ala that gives life and death in the city, He also gives it in the badia, in the desert. What's the difference? Why is the desert a blessing? It's a blessing because that hijab that was between you and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the hijab of, oh, the ambulance is here. Oh, the hospital is here. Oh, the doctors are here. Oh, I have this resource, that resource that I can depend on. The only one you could have depended on in the first place is Allah Ta'ala. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have ambulances and hospitals and make plans for things. We should always do that. If not for any other reason, it's a sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The problem is not having the ambulance in the hospital. The problem is depending on the ambulance in the hospital, whereas you weren't commanded to depend on them. You were commanded to depend on Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So the blessing of being here is what? The blessing of being here is this: the lull, the dizziness, the stupor, the drunkenness that the entire country, whether they're Muslims or not, the drunkenness and the stupidity that the entire country has been lulled into, that they think that this party is going to help me or that party is going to help me, or voting is going to help me or not voting is going to help me, or rich people's money helps them or poor people's poverty. All of this is all nonsense. When the hijab, when the veil between you and Allah Ta'ala is lifted, and you understand that He was the only one you had in the first place anyway. He's the one who gave you the money, and if He wants, the money will help you, and if He wants, the higher maqam is the one who doesn't give the money and He helps them anyway. What's more miraculous? The fact that Pharaoh has a huge army that he can chase Musa with, or the fact that Sayyidina Musa can touch the water and the sea parts at Allah Ta'ala's commandment. That's a case in which the honor of the one who had nothing is higher than the honor of the one who had something. This is one of the reasons in our deen, the Prophet ﷺ never asked for more. Never asked for more. All he asked for barakah in what he had. Allah Ta'ala, if He gives you what you have, if it's enough, it will be better than having money, it'll be better than having wealth, all of those things. Why? The wealthy will give hisab yawm al-qiyamah. And the people who had little with barakah, they have no liability in front of Allah Ta'ala on the day of account. And they will get to the maqam of Jannah faster than the people who had the means. Obviously, if you need to take the means, again, it's not haram to take the means in order to do what you need to do. If you need to protect your family, if you need to earn a living, if you need to protect your community, if you need to build a masjid, by all means, gather the wealth, gather the means, gather the dunya you need to in order to get that done. That will not be counted as dunya against you, it will be counted as part of the deen. But what you're forbidden from doing and what I'm forbidden from doing is putting your trust in the money, putting your trust in the means, putting your trust in the dunya. And this is a sickness, this is an illness, this is an illness from which people who are in that condition of not having the means, they're actually spared from a sickness that the people who are not in that condition are spared from. There's a hikmah in everything. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, you want to follow the sunnah, right? You want to follow the sunnah? We rib each other about having beards and not having beards. These things are part of the sunnah as well, mashallah. You want to follow the sunnah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, Ya Allah, make the masakeen, the poor, the people who are destitute, make them beloved to me. And give them the company of those people and make me one of them. Allah offered him, if you wish to, right? Say that Jibreel brought him the offer that Allah offers you, if you wish to. You can live forever and you can be a king. You can live in this ummah as a king. He says, no, I'd rather live as a slave. I would do my job and leave from this world. Because this world is not the homeland of any person who Allah Ta'ala destined for Jannah. This world is a stopover at the airport. This world is not a place that you build forever. Now coming back to the situation that you are in and that I am in. Okay? One of the things that irks me to no end, there are some preachers who have made a living by dividing people. There are some preachers, even amongst us, they have beards and they wear turbans, or some of them wear suits and ties. Some of them speak much more eloquently than I do. Some of them are even more educated than I am. But they made a living by dividing people, by getting one group of people to hate another. And this is something that bothers me to no end. Okay? One of the things that they've made their money, made their living by doing is making the indigenous population of Muslims resent the immigrants. And shaitan also made the immigrant population resent and disrespect the indigenous population, the African-American population, the Caucasian population of those who entered into Islam. Whereas Allah Ta'ala's commandment is very clear in his book, in the Malmu'minuna, ikhwatun, fa'aslihu bayna akhawaykum. The believers are what? They're nothing but brothers, full sisters to one another. So if you see some sort of gap between them, then make islah. Then do what? Then heal that wound. Heal that break that's there. Fix that break between them. This is the job of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. This is the job of the prophets to fix the gap and the break, the wound between people. I'll tell you something. The same kufr, disbelief. You know, we in Islam we have this idea that what kufr, al-kufru millatun wahida. It's a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kufr, disbelief is one millah. We don't say that this kafir is better than that kafir. The atheist, the person who worships the Trinity, the person who worships one Allah but denies the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the person who believes in a Nabi after our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether he's from Qadian or from Chicago or from God knows where. All of these people, they're all in one bracket with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're all the same. The same kufr that traumatized you, immigrants, it's the same kufr that traumatized you, African-American community. It's the same kufr that traumatized all of us. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the same kufr, it's the same system. Our shaykh that we read hadith from, by Allah's fadl, I have the sanad in the Siha Sitta, the six books of hadith from myself through my mashayikh, unbroken to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you go four links up in our chain of narration, one of our mashayikh, his name is what? Maulana Muhammad Qasim Nanutwi. Right? For those of you who have gone and studied in the Dar al-Qasim, Sheikh Amin, he's come here to give talks before. Right? He named the Dar al-Qasim after who? He named the Dar al-Qasim after our Sheikh that our sanad meets up with. Okay? The same British and the same Europeans that enslaved the forefathers of our African-American brothers and sisters. They're the same ones, they came and they hung our ulama in the Indian subcontinent. They're the same ones. Qasim Nanutwi rahimullah ta'ala was a refugee. He was wanted by the colonial administration. It came to the point where he was in a house, holed in a masjid. The British soldiers surrounded the masjid. And the jig was up. He said, I'm going to give myself up because I don't want them to start shooting at the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and blood and all of these things. They'll desecrate the house of Allah ta'ala. Out of his love of Allah ta'ala, he said, I'm just going to give myself up. He said his azkar. He made his peace with Allah ta'ala and he walked out of the masjid. The soldier he sees says, do you know where Qasim Nanutwi is? He said, you know what? He was just here not too long ago. And he just walked away. This is the fadl of Allah ta'ala. These things happen. This is the fadl of Allah ta'ala. And this is also the the maqam of our mashayikh, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spared them from ever speaking a lie, even in that situation in which lying becomes permissible for people to save their lives. This is the same, these are the same people, they did that to us. These are the same people that did that to us as immigrants. They're the same people who did that to us as an indigenous population. They are the same people. Now the question I have as an outsider, as a guest who comes to Masjid Da'wah not but one or two times in a year, is what? One of the reasons that, there's several reasons you see that in America, the African American community has accepted Islam and embraced Islam in a way that the Caucasian community hasn't. One of them I can think of is a spiritual reason, and one of them I can think of is a material reason. The spiritual reason is what? Is because our forefathers were enslaved. Our forefathers were all Muslims. Our forefathers were enslaved. That's everybody, even if you're from Pakistan or India or a white convert or whatever. This, those people who were enslaved and brought to, in chains to this country, those people were all of our forefathers. Our forefathers were brought to this country in chains. And if I have something to complain about as someone from the subcontinent, that they did this, they burned down our madaris, they assassinated our ulama, they hung them from the gates of the walls of Delhi and of Lahore and of all of these different cities of Agra. If I have this complaint, then I have this complaint against the same people about our forefathers they brought from Africa. What they stole from our forefathers from the subcontinent was small compared to what they stole from our forefathers from Africa, in the sense that you have people who come here, it's one thing to steal somebody's books, it's something to burn their library down, to kill their family, to do all of this. Imagine what does it mean to steal someone's name, that a person should know their father is for 4, 5, 6 generations and they don't know what their family name is. They don't know where they're from. They don't even know who they are. This is a type of theft only shaitan can think of. This is a type of theft only shaitan can think of. Even the dude on the hood who's dealing drugs and killing people and gang violence and rape and all of those things, that dude never even thought about doing something this evil. Never thought about doing something this evil. Those forefathers of ours, they made dua. They made dua undoubtedly like any person of iman would, that ya Allah, these people have done something to me that I can't resist. They've controlled me and they've done something to me in this dunya. So evil, I can't do anything. I don't know how anything is going to work in my favor. I don't know how there can be any khair for me in this dunya anymore. But what did they make dua for? They made dua, ya Allah, from my lineage, from my progeny, don't remove iman. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. That's why all of us are here. Right? The same dua that our forefathers made from another side of the world is the same dua that our forefathers made from the other side of the world. The material reason is what? Is that any person, you see all these very angry people, they support their political candidates, you know, for legal reasons we have pledged not to take political sides, but they support their political candidates, some of them with firearms, and they're very angry people. If anyone has a reason in this country to be angry about anything, it's the African-American community. In fact, it's a sign of their hilman, of their sabr, and their superior character that they don't have anger in this country. It's a sign of what? It's a sign of their superior character that they don't have more anger than what they have. One of the reasons that people in great numbers in the 70s, in the 70s, in the 60s, in the 80s, entered into Islam is what? Is because they said, when I was in chains, you did with us what you wanted to. When my forefathers were in chains, you did with us what you wanted to. Now the chains are gone. You could not keep me clamped down. Allah Ta'ala made his decision through his qadr, through his divinely ordained predestination, through his providence, that you cannot keep me down anymore. I am from now on free. And hell no, I'm not going to take your name. Hell no, I'm not going to dress like you dress. I'm not going to eat like you eat. I'm not going to wake up in the morning. I'm not going to eat the haram that you eat. I'm not going to wake up in the morning like you wake up in the morning. I'm not going to go to sleep at night the way you went to sleep at night. Why? Because that's pure evil. And it's leading to where? Jahannam. And our forefathers on both sides, they were not Jahannami people. Our forefathers on both sides, they were not Jahannami people. This is a blessing that we're here. Why? Because when you see, why is there a Pete's Fresh Market in Villa Park and in Lombard, but there's not a Pete's Fresh Market over here, you know, that you see like every 2 miles? There's not a grocery store in every 2 miles in this part of town. Why is it that the streets are clean in another part of town, here the streets are not clean in another part of town? Why is it in Elmhurst, when you get pulled over by the cops, if you're black, there will be 6 cop cars that are there up on you because you ran a stop sign. There's a brother came to visit me from Seattle. I was explaining to him, Seattle is very different than over here. I was explaining to him, I said, these suburbs that we live in, the taxes are astronomical, and the only reason is so that we can have cops to harass black people and keep them out of town. Wallahi, 15 minutes after I said that, the coffee shop we were sitting in, a young black man runs out, six cop cars come, they tackle him, hold him down as if this guy is like some sort of mass murderer or whatever. Who knows if he even did anything? If he did something, he obviously didn't do something that have people, their guns drawn on him and this and that, like it's an animal that escaped from the zoo. Now tell me something. This is the same thing that's happening with us as an African-American community in this country. It's the same thing that's happening with us as immigrants. When a brown-skinned person does something, it's terrorism. When a white person gets guns and explosives and plans to blow up places of worship, it's not. Even if that place of worship is a church, even if that place of worship is a church, it's still not terrorism, right? The same kufr that's doing this to us as immigrants, same kufr is doing it to us as African Americans, same kufr that does it to us as converts to Islam. It's the same kufr that does it in our countries. Let me tell you something. The name Baghdad, the name Raqqa, the name Mosul, the name Damascus, the name Aleppo, these were names that used to be benchmarks for civilization. Now their names are synonymous with getting the crap bombed out of you. Now their names that are synonymous with getting bombed back into the Stone Age. Why is that? It's the same kufr that did it to all of us. Now people are like, oh my goodness, Sheikh, you came here. Are you supposed to be a scholar? Why are you talking about politics from the minbar? Wallahi, I could give less of a damn about the politics. I don't care who wins president. I'm not trying to run for nothing myself. What's the theological angle in this? Because the Jum'ah is supposed to be an occasion of dhikr, of remembering Allah Ta'ala. The thing I want to say, the thing that I'm reminding myself and reminding other people is, why is it, despite knowing the putrid and disgusting nature of this kufr and the people who promulgate it, the people who propagate their system, most of them don't even understand, they don't even know what they're doing. They're like lemmings working in a system. They have no idea what they're propagating. They're just propagating a system. They have no idea where it started, shaitan, and where it's going to end, jahannam. For them, we make dua for their hidayah. For us, what is wrong with us that this is still the system that we put all of our hope into? What's wrong with us? This is still our children. We still have hope. All of us have hope. My son become a doctor. My daughter become an engineer. My son become a lawyer. Go to university for, go to school for 12 years. Go to university for 4 years. Get a bachelor's degree. Get another 4 years. Get a professional degree. Do an internship. Do a residency. Do all of these things. Pay taxes. And this is the hope. This is our hope. This is our hope. Is what? It's this dunya. Why is it our hope that we can be a cog in someone else's system? What, Sheikh, are you against education? No, I'm not against education. I went to university myself. I went to American University. I have a degree in biochemistry. I say people should learn all of these things. What I have a problem is when you put your hope into it. Say, Sheikh, what's the difference? The difference is what? We have our own children, immigrant children and African-American children, convert children, whoever it is. Our own children grow up age 18, doesn't know how to read a lick of the Quran, doesn't bother learning the Arabic language, doesn't bother to learn the deen, doesn't bother to learn what the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, doesn't bother to learn the fiqh of this deen. Every masjid in this city, out of hundreds of masajid, maybe today 10 or 15 of them, the khutbah will be given by a person who is a person of ilm, a person of knowledge. Not just knows more than the average person, but a person who has some sort of formal qualification. All the rest of them, it's mercenary khatib getting up and just like, he freestyling. Just freestyle, just whatever comes in, whatever sounds good, you say what you want to say. People saying all sorts of ridiculous things. Why? We did no investment in this deen whatsoever. We did no investment in this deen. The person who was an immigrant, they changed their name from Muhammad and they have a nickname that everybody else knows them from. The person who in the 70s used to say, man, don't call me by my slave name. Don't call me, the slave name don't seem so bad no more, does it? And so what happens? The rest of the community said, these people just sellouts like everybody else. These people just hustlers like everybody else. They're just here to make a buck like everybody else. I can't trust them. They don't have nothing to give to me. The Prophet ﷺ's character was so noble. مَا سُئِلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ شَيْءٌ قَطُّ إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such a person, he was never asked for anything after La ilaha illallah, after Iqra came down on his noble heart sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was never asked for any material thing except for he gave it. Except for what? Except for he gave it. That was the importance of the dunya to him. If he didn't have it, he would apologize to people and make dua for them. If he had something, he would give it. He would just give it to them. Now tell me, why is it that after knowing all of this, what have we made our long-term goal? What have we made our long-term investment? Who have we cast in our lot with? The same shayateen that did the same thing to our horrible things to our forefathers that we cry about and we feel entitled because of the dhulm that has been done on them. Those same people we cast in our lot with them again. We cast in our lot again with them. And when I say cast our lot, it doesn't mean we're going to buy a t-shirt and say, I love the man. I love it. I love COINTELPRO. I love this. It's not that. It's in little choices we make every day. It's in how we present ourselves in front of one another. It's in what we spend our days doing, what we spend our time and day doing. It's in how we interact with one another. It's in what our hopes and dreams are. If I were to ask somebody, and nobody could lie to me, who here wishes to be a millionaire? Everyone, illa man sha Allah, including myself, I'm not trying to act like I'm better than nobody else. Everyone raised their hand. Even though the money, you know, the money doesn't have any worth at all. The money used to be exchangeable for gold. It's just paper with the picture of a dead kafir on it. Those are the people, yawm al-qiyamah, you'll run away from them. If they try to grab a hold of you, you'll run from them. Wallahi, you'll run from them. You'll run from them. Some of them were the people, they themselves were the ones who enslaved our forefathers. We wish to have their picture in our wallet. Carry them with us by day and night, like we were supposed to carry the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. Wadhkur rabbaka fi nafsika tadarru'an wa khifatan wa dun al-jahri min al-qawli bil-ghudu'i wal-asal wa la takum min al-ghafilin. Remember your Lord in humility and in fear by day and by night. Dun al-jahri min al-qawli bil-ghudu'i wal-asal. Not the remembrance only of the tongue. You should do that also. But this is the remembrance that beats inside of your heart. It just happens. It just happens. Just like a person doesn't think every time they breathe or think every time their heart beats. Dun al-jahri min al-qawl. That remembrance you carry with you by day and night. And you remember him, Jalla wa'ala, when you're awake. And just like that, you remember him when you're sleeping as well. Dun al-jahri min al-qawli wa la takum min al-ghafilin. And you are not allowed ever, don't you dare ever, even for a second, barakallahu feekum, even for a second, and I'm wrapping up. Even for a second, don't you dare forget. Don't you dare let yourself be heedless. That type of remembrance, that's the one we don't make dua for. Ya Allah, give me that type of remembrance. I'm not claiming I have it. Allah, give it to all of us. Ameen. Maybe someone says Ameen, Allah Ta'ala will accept for all of us. Allah, give it to all of us. That type of remembrance, we hold the sincerity inside of our heart, that we have that remembrance of these dead kafirs' pictures that goes with us in the morning when we wake up and when we go to sleep at night. Right? I'm not saying don't have money. I'm saying don't keep that in your heart. Don't make that your goal. Don't make that your desire. And what we should have been doing is, Ya Allah, make me a person who never misses a salat again. Ya Allah, make me a person who never forgets you again. Ya Allah, make me a person whenever there's some sort of opportunity to represent, instead of representing the city, or instead of representing my job, or instead of representing my corporation, or instead of representing my sports team, or make me represent your awliya, make me represent the sultan of your awliya, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should have asked Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, make my progeny a progeny of hufadh of Quran. Make my progeny muhaddithin and fuqaha. Make my progeny those who struggle in your path. Make my progeny those who call to your path. Make my progeny those who you love and those who you give your wilaya, you give your friendship to. Ya Allah, accept everything I have from me. Ya Allah, make me live only for you, and when I die, give me the death of shahada. Who made that dua? Who makes that dua? Who cherishes the hope? That, you know, there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The person who asks Allah Ta'ala with sincerity, cherishes the hope inside of their heart that, Ya Allah, that you give me shahada one day. Allah Ta'ala will write for them the reward of being a shaheed even if they die of old age in their bed. Where is that? Who's the one who does it themselves and teach their children to do that? Astaghfirullah, maybe I won't even get invited back. Forget about the regular Masa. I probably won't even get invited back to give khutbah in the hood no more if I mention shahada one more time. That's the turath, that's the treasure our forefathers gave us. And after that, you're not going to want to be called Jim no more, or Bob, or Mike, or whatever in front of other people. You're going to be proud. What is it? Who are the people who inspire us, right? Muhammad Ali, rahimahullah ta'ala, who died. Neither a hafiz of Quran, nor a shaheed fi sabilillah in the outward sense, nor a faqih, nor a qari, nor a mufti. None of those things. But why did we love him? Because he made it, he showed us a path to like be American Muslims and adjust and integrate into the society around us. Hell no. Hell no. A person who integrates into insanity is insane. A person who integrates into crime, that person's a criminal. The reason he inspired us, after the end, they made a big show out of it, like a big like star spectacle, like a Rose Bowl parade out of everything. That's Allah knows best. That's not the reason he inspired us. The reason he inspired us was what? When Batil asked to stand up and give your life for the sake of Batil, right? Falsehood. What did he say? He said, ain't no VFKG ever call me a nigger. Where's that feeling? Where's that sentiment gone? Immigrants, where's that sentiment gone? African-American community, where's that sentiment gone to? All the other African-American leaders, illa man sha Allah, they were saying, what? Finally, they're going to let us fight in integrated units. We can fight in an integrated unit with Massa. He's going to love us now. He's going to respect, he'll accept us now. He said, man, I don't even want to be accepted by these people. These people are they're disgusting and they're doing something disgusting. I don't even want to be accepted by these people. I don't want to go and do what they did to my forefathers, go to travel across the ocean, go to someone else's house and do that. I don't want to do that. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Where's that sentiment gone? Are we so attuned to like, oh, mashallah, Bill Clinton said something really nice about him, so like now he's important to us. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. There's a sort of ghairah and there's a sort of pride that we have in iman. It's connected with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't hate anybody else. We wish guidance for everybody else. But if we have to pick sides, we know which side we need to pick. Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to die on the right side. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala rasulihi sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar!
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar!
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar!